Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the first episode in the Christmas series of The Delicious Podcast with me, Julie Smith. And this week I'm foraging for mushrooms with food writer, delicious columnist and River Cottage chef, Gil Mellor. The theme of the series is It Wouldn't Be Christmas Without... And for Gil, it's a wintry walk in the woods, a chance to get a little lost and away from the madding crowd.
It's just lovely to get out of the house into the fresh air, albeit it's quite nippy, and stroll through the woods. It's one of my favourite places. It's nice and quiet. It's quite relaxing in a way. If you wrap up warm.
Yeah, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing.
That's very true.
And you, when you're walking, you are always foraging, aren't you, really? Can you just walk down this path without looking for something to put in that basket of yours?
I'm always looking at my surroundings. It might not always be with something edible in mind, but it's just looking at nature, really, and seeing how beautiful it is. I think occasionally you do see things that are edible that you can throw in your basket. So I know we're in the middle of winter now, but the nettles down there are actually in quite good shape. You could pick those and make a little soup. But what I'm really looking for, and what I hope we might find, is the last of the wild mushrooms, because there's a particular variety that grows in this wood that runs right through till Christmas time. And the weather's kind of been on our side. We've had some rain, which makes them spring up, and hope to pick a few.
Yeah. I
know how to identify a small selection of edible wild mushrooms. I'm by no means a specialist.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point. Let's be really clear here. It's actually very dangerous, isn't it, to eat the wrong mushroom, and we don't want delicious readers not even getting to Christmas because they've eaten the wrong mushroom. How do you find how to identify the right mushroom?
I've been lucky enough to work with a chap called John Wright, who is an expert forager. He is the real deal. Probably one of the UK's foremost authorities on wild food. He has taught me an awful lot about what not to pick and what to pick, but mostly what not to pick. So that's left me with a small selection of things that I can recognise. He has written several best-selling field guides for hedgerow plants, for edible ingredients on the seashore, and as I say, one on mushrooms. So referencing a small field guide that you could perhaps bring with you when you're out in the woods or out in the fields is one of the best ways to guarantee you're not picking the wrong mushroom. It takes a little bit of confidence to an extent. You've got to make sure that you really are 100% confident that what you're throwing in the pan is edible.
Right.
Look, there's some amazing things around here.
Now, okay, so we've just walked off the main path into a very mossy area. It's much more covered, and we've chanced upon these beautiful, these are sort of mossy green mushrooms all clumped on a tree trunk.
Yes.
Do you know immediately what these are?
No idea at all.
Okay.
No,
we're going to leave those then. They're very beautiful.
Leave them. As I said, you know, I'm not an expert when it comes to foraging. I kind of happy with that. I know what I'm looking for, and it's this variety called the hedgehog mushroom.
It's not that.
And that is not that. Stepping out into the woods like this, going for a little walk, is not, for me, all about the forage. It's not about the hunt. It's not about bringing back basketfuls of mushrooms. It's all about the experience.
Mm.
It's about just getting away from the computer, you know, getting away from recipe writing, getting away from just the conventional...
The day.
Day.
And, of course, at Christmas time, it's about getting away from the mass of people in your house, the family.
I mean, Christmas can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
It can...
What's it like in your house?
Christmas at my place is different every year. You know, we've got quite a lot of extended family. Christmas kind of starts in November, really, at our place, because the girls, they just, you know, as soon as that November hits, away they go. You know, the Christmas music starts coming on.
November? God, that's a crime in my household.
I know, but they love it. You know, they love the feeling.
Yeah.
It makes you feel kind of...
So give us an
joyous
example of the Christmas music they're going to be putting on.
Well, it would be the kind of best of Bing Crosby, I imagine.
As in my household. Yes, we're getting into it's a very leafy area now. Of course, all the trees have shed their leaves, and this produces most fertile mulch, doesn't it, for the woods?
Yeah, it's the ground is soft under our feet. There's lots of leaves, but actually there's quite a lot of shade because most of these trees are coniferous. They're pine and other varieties. So, you know, you've got quite a lot of canopy cover.
Yeah, which is what mushrooms really love, isn't it?
They do, yeah, and they love this damp, mulchy ground.
Now, you say that you're kind of getting away from the computer means getting away from the book that you're writing. I mean, you are prolific with your books. What's this latest one about?
The new book that I'm working on at the moment is about celebrating vegetables, essentially. So it's a big book about veg, fruit, herbs, salads. I think we could all do with eating a bit more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not eating so much meat and fish.
That's quite a big departure for you. Gather, for example, was all about foraging, and famously you talk about squirrel one of the most sustainable meats, and you've written about that in your delicious column. But also thyme is a more nostalgic, meditative look at the way that you've eaten over the years and the way that we eat, and it's about roasts, lots of slow cooked foods. I mean,
yeah.
One of the things about more vegetarian, more vegan lifestyles is that it's not such a slow cook.
That's true, and it has been a little bit of a challenge just to factor in dishes that do give you that warming, comforting, deeply savoury feeling and taste and texture and so forth. So I've been thinking quite hard about how that all works and what ingredients will really yield those fantastically warming results. But it is totally possible to create wonderful dishes of that slow cooked nature with vegetables. But really the idea that ties this book together is that I want to hopefully broaden people's kind of veg-based repertoire of recipes.
Yeah.
I think if you can enthuse people to cook seasonal, locally grown fruit and veg, then it's going to have a positive impact on the environment,
yeah,
on your immediate community, and on your general health and well-being, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of you prominent chefs, you know, the people with the big influence have been doing this, you know, Nigel Slater, Jamie Oliver, Donal Skean, more and more people are turning to what Donal calls veg-forward foods, just to show us what to do with produce that actually grows around us all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing cooking and eating vegetables that have been flown halfway across the world, wrapped in plastic. It's another to support local farmers and growers who are producing something in an ethical and sustainable way, who really believe in what they're doing, who really believe in creating a future for the environment, for the community that they live within, and believe in producing food in the best possible way they can.
Yeah, as environmental stewards, I mean, these people know more about actually looking after the environment than any of us do.
Absolutely. And I feel that we don't support them in the way that we perhaps could do. So essentially the idea behind the new book is the same as the idea of going for a walk in the woods. It's about connecting to a more natural way of life. I think we can do that through the food we eat, through our food choices, supporting farmers and growers who are producing food in a sustainable way, in a seasonal way, growing it locally. These are very important things. Going for a walk in the woods connects us to our environment, to the landscape around us, in the same way. They're the same.
Now, we're not finding many mushrooms here, Gil. Is that because we're too busy chatting?
We are chatting quite a bit. One of the things about looking for wild food is that you really need to get in the zone and you need to kind of tune your eyes in, actually all your senses. And suddenly, out of nowhere, when you found that spot, things start to appear. And because we're guessing away, I'm not really getting in the zone.
Shall we do that? I'll fade out and we can get into the zone and we'll find the mushrooms and we'll come back. Join us after the short break to see if we do actually find our forest feast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And as if by magic, just as I put it on pause, you find some hedgehog mushrooms.
Yes, they're one of my favourite mushrooms. And to see them here now is wonderful. So they grow in patches. We might find a few more as we walk on. But essentially, they are firm to the touch. They're kind of chamois leather in colour, if you know what I mean. And what makes them very easy to identify is these spines underneath, which is why they're given the name the hedgehog mushroom. It's got, instead of gills or the sponge-like quality of the bleak mushrooms, it's got these tiny little spines. I'm sure expert foragers would know exactly what their name is in Latin, but I'm confident that this is what we're looking for. They're lovely, just fried in butter and piled on toast.
It does look like somebody else had a little nibble first. Would that be deer?
I'm not sure. It might be. It might be someone else. It might be someone else who's.
If I take this, look, there's an intact one under leaf. So I'm going to have a little. It's come out of the ground very, very easily.
It's a lovely little mushroom. What I like about doing this is how rewarding it feels. It's nothing special. It's nothing big. We're not changing the world. But yeah, it's just
that
lovely
kind
to.
Of we are. I mean, that is. It is as simple as that, isn't it? It's instead of doing all your shopping at the supermarket, go for a walk, find something lovely, and just fry it with some butter.
That's true. Anyone who goes out looking for wild food, they're not going to be out. It's not something they can survive off necessarily. I don't think it's going to make a dent in their shopping bill. In reality, what they are going to be able to achieve is a slightly more mindful way of living. For me, it's got more to do with just connecting to nature a little bit more, because I think perhaps we don't have time to do that anymore in the way that we might like to. So we spend a lot of time working. We all live very busy lifestyles, quite hectic for some people, you know, in the city. We just don't get time to connect with the environment around us. And going for a walk in the woods, using our eyes to look around us, and perhaps you find some mushrooms, perhaps you don't,
doesn't really matter.
No. What matters is that opportunity and that chance to just grasp something that is slipping out of our hands a little too fast.
Your book is called Root, Stem,
Leaf, Flower.
Flower. So it is about the whole plant. So looking at that mushroom as an example of that, how would you write about the root of that mushroom?
Well, the mushroom as an organism, if we can call it that, is quite fascinating. I mean, what we see growing out of the mulch here, out of the leaves, out of the twigs, is only a fraction of the mushroom itself. You know, the majority of this interesting and delicious edible food is spread throughout the forest floor under the ground, connecting trees to each other. It's an incredibly important part of the ecosystem that surrounds us.
So we were very lucky with that mushroom that first time, but actually I can't leap across this ravine with a microphone in my hand, so I'm going to put it on pause. Less than 2 minutes later, we have found a whole load of your beautiful hedgehog mushrooms.
Yes, and they're in such gorgeous condition. They've probably just come up overnight, you know. Firm, nutty, and just underneath you can see these tiny little spikes, which is why they have the name the hedgehog mushroom. I did a recipe the other day for a deer and hedgehog pie.
Oh,
and of course, the title got some slightly alarming responses, in that they thought there was hedgehogs going into the pie. But of course, it's just these lovely mushrooms, sautéed with a little bit of garlic, some butter, parsley, and piled on toast. They are just to die for. And they're one of the few mushrooms that, in my experience, will go on until Christmas. You know, so it's quite nice to see them this late in the year.
Now, I pulled up the entire sort of bulb at the bottom.
Yes.
You're very delicately using your penknife.
Yes. You should really cut them at the base of the stem, not pull them up, because it takes the part of the root up as well.
Oops.
And I think that has an effect on how they come back next year. So, a little penknife like this, little Opinel, which I actually carry with me everywhere because I love it, is just what you need.
Yeah.
Or you can get a proper mushroomer's knife that has a little brush on the other end, so you can brush off the soil and grit. But actually, these are so impeccably clean.
They are.
That's not necessary.
Because of the intense rain we've just had, would the rain have washed them clean?
No, it's just that they're so fresh. They've literally just come up out of the ground. You can see that one poking out the moss. Yeah. It's like a bit of a fairy tale scene. The moss is so soft. As I'm kneeling down on one knee, it feels like almost like a mattress.
Yeah,
it's really lovely. And you've got these tones of green, and in between that, these mushrooms just popping their caps out.
So we've got our mushrooms.
Yeah.
You've got, I mean, a quarter of a basket full. That was amazing. And now you're going to cook them up for me.
I'm going to cook them up for you. Actually, I brought a few dry sticks in my bag and a lighter, and I've got my old frying pan. So what could be nicer than finishing our walk with a few fried mushrooms?
Wonderful.
It was nice that we actually found some, so let's do it.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of the point, really, isn't it? That you know, when you're talking about going out on these lovely, cold, wintry walks, you don't have to find the mushrooms. It's not about that, really.
It's about getting out of the house, really. And I think we should all do that a little bit more. But if you can get out, if you can get out of the house into a wonderful space, into a place that is truly beautiful and really is about nature, then so much the better. And woods are usually like that, you know. Even if they're woods on the outskirts of the town, or some copse in, you know, your park in the city, whatever. It just replenishes our energy levels to an extent, and makes us feel good, and makes us connect to a more natural way of life, even for a short spell of time. But we did it, so let's make a little fire and go the whole hog and cook them up with my daughter's old maths revision.
Yeah, you are one of those people who just actually uses leftovers wherever possible, don't you? So you've got some old graph paper there.
Yeah, some of my daughter's maths scribbles, and some egg boxes just to get the fire going. Yeah. I mean, you can gather up stuff, tinder from the forest floor, but actually everything's so wet at the moment, it just saves a little bit of time. So.
And you're putting that straight on the mulchy ground.
Well, I know there'll be no fire hazards. Yeah. Everything's very damp. As we know, it rained quite heavily yesterday and into the evening. So, yes, when we leave, we'll make sure the fire's out. I've brought some kindling, just some cedar, actually. Very
Which
fragrant.
Smells delicious, of course, when you...
Yeah, yeah, smell. It's nice and dry. It's left over from a shed I've been making in the garden. But I've just split it very finely as I can, with a little hatchet. And I'll pop that down on top of the egg boxes and the homework.
And again, you're just sort of covering the kindling over the tops in a sort of a little triangle, lots of little triangles, leaving lots of air to...
Yeah, just exactly that, piling on the kindling, making sure you don't smother it and block out all the air. I'm not doing it in any particular way. I'm just pretty confident I'm chucking it on. Pretty confident that the kindling is dry enough that it will take. We all get frustrated when fires don't light, but it's usually down to having damp wood and tinder that doesn't take. So
yeah. What are you looking for with your fire? At what point is it going to be hot enough?
When this kindling has burnt down a little bit, and some of these slightly larger pieces of wood have taken, I'll balance the pan on top, and it should be hot enough to cook over. We're not grilling meat, you know, we're not barbecuing fish. This is a pretty quick little process. Get the pan hot enough to get the butter bubbling, and throw in the mushrooms. Listen, these mushrooms are so fresh that you don't really need to cook them. You could eat them raw. Do you want to have a little try?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trusting you here. Oh.
You see that texture?
beautiful.
Absolutely amazing. Mm. So, with that in mind, given we could eat them raw, flashing them in the pan with the butter and the garlic is a very simple task.
So you've got the butter sizzling away in your pan there. Of course, you've just flattened out some of the bigger pieces of wood there, which give you a platform. It's like a homemade hob. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to move the wood around so you can nestle a pan on top.
I've got some butter and garlic in there, just putting the mushrooms in there.
I'm throwing the mushrooms in. Some of them have got a little bit of the forest floor still clinging to their roots. We don't eat enough forest floor, perhaps. It's all good stuff. So, into the pan, back onto the fire. I'm going to put a little bit of black pepper from my little black pepper mill that my daughter found for me at a car boot sale recently. Good pepper mills are so hard to come by, and this is perfect. Pinch of salt, and what you'll notice, Julie, is the mushrooms are starting to give up quite a lot of liquid. Most mushrooms are made up of probably 90% moisture. You want to drive that out, intensify the flavour of the mushroom, and by the time that's sizzled away, they'll be good to go.
So are these the kind of recipes we'll find in your new book?
There are some mushroom recipes in there, but there's recipes for nearly every British seasonal vegetable you can think of. I suppose there's about 50 plants that I've focused in on. Salad leaves, herbs, root vegetables, brassicas, leaves, the whole spectrum. There's recipes for every day of every season, really. Ideas to give people more scope when it comes to cooking veg, to broaden their veg-centric horizons, for want of a better word, and to encourage people through that to eat perhaps less meat and less fish, and when they do, maybe they've got the extra money to spend a little bit more. I'm not going to suggest that eating vegetables should be cheap.
It's going to be cheaper than buying meat from the supermarket.
It's going to be. That's true. That is very true. But at the same time, we shouldn't expect something that's been grown with love and care and in a way that is sustainable and ethical to be cheap. It's a slightly skewed perception that we seem to live in when it comes to food. I'm just trying to encourage people to get the best ingredients they can, and by doing so they are going to be having a positive impact. That might be a small impact, but it's an impact. And as you know, many voices whispering still makes a noise.
Changes the message, exactly. So those mushrooms are ready now. We're going to eat them.
Yeah, they're ready to go. You've got this buttery, mushroomy liquor in the bottom of the pan. And yes, the hedgehogs looking delicious. A little bit of salt, pepper, garlic. Would you like to try?
I would indeed. Absolutely beautiful. Still really firm. Mm. Gorgeous garlic butter.
Mmm.
That's amazing.
Texturally, it's just joyous. The flavour is wonderful. They're not overpowering. God, that's amazing.
Let's sit down and eat our picnic. Thanks for listening to the Delicious Podcast. You can hear the entire back catalogue of the podcast at deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. Next week, I'm back with Ken Hom, who tells us what he just can't do without at Christmas. I'll see you then.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.